Today on Real Radio.
Corinthian, Californian, we are to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Not dead, alive. God, use me. Lord, send me. Lord, whatever, through me, whatever you want to do. And Paul's passion of 1 Corinthians 9:27 is exactly that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're hearing a mini-series that takes a look at chapter 10 and the first 15 verses. It's where Paul cites parts of the Old Testament as examples of how we're supposed to live our new life in Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Run, Christian, Run.
It doesn't say keep yourself in love with God. It says keep yourself in the love of God. How cool is that? The love of God is being poured out. Boom. It's like coming down. And if you're standing away from it, you're going, man, I'd like to have some of that. Then get in it, man. Step into it. It's there. It's flowing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How awesome. Job in the Old Testament says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He says, I'm going to see God someday in my flesh. Job said that. David talked about knowing about the resurrection power that would come through the Messiah. Isaiah spoke about that in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9. Solomon spoke about that in Proverbs 30. It's awesome. Keep your eyes on him. And look, quickly, you need one another. I know you hate this. You hate this. See, when we were a church of just 200 people, we were about 200 people for about 3 months. And what happened was people know each other. I don't think you should leave this building today until there's about 50 people right there. You guys should get one another's phone number. You say, oh, man, I hate that guy. You don't like that, huh? We don't like that. The Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling together. He says, be careful. Hebrews 10:25 says, be careful because in the last days, people are going to isolate themselves from one another. Just go to church. Just don't talk to me. Sit down. Praise the Lord. No! You can't do that. How can you love one another by doing that? You can't do that. You can't do that. That breeds apathy. It's dangerous because you're being indoctrinated, taught regarding the love of Christ, but you're not doing it. No, we need to know one another. Get one of those phone numbers, get to know one another. Everybody gets all tense with that now. Oh, gosh. So listen, today, leaving the sanctuary, somebody, you didn't get, hey, excuse me, I didn't get your number. I didn't get your number. Go after them. Get their name. You see, Pastor, I'm not coming back next week. We only want 200 people. Lisa, I can tell, Lisa's going to say, you shouldn't have said that. No, you're all loved and you're all welcome. Just know one another, will you? That's biblical. Okay? Next thing is this, guard. Look at verses 9 to 10. Guarding your heart against compromise. He says, nor let us tempt Christ. Isn't this amazing? Paul is telling the church at Corinth. A Jewish convert to Christ is telling Greek converts to Christ that the children of Israel in the wilderness tempted Christ. They knew this in the Old Testament, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. The book of Numbers tells us about this. And they complained. He says, don't complain. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Yikes. You know who the destroyer is? This is horrific. Satan. Did you know that? Abaddon, Apollyon, Diablos, Satan. The Bible says he's actually real. He's a real person. He's a fallen angel. The fallen angel. And the Bible says that in their sin, remember, Moses would say, God, don't judge them now, because then Pharaoh will say that you led him out in the wilderness and You couldn't sustain them. Moses would say that on Monday because God would say, Moses, get out of the way. These people are rebellious. I'm going to kill them all. Moses would say, God, don't. And this is amazing, by the way. Jesus Christ is known as our intercessor. Moses said, God will raise up to you, Israel, a prophet like me, but him you will obey. That's a reference to Christ. Listen, can you think of a greater leader that God has ever brought or shall bring than Moses? Only one. You say, yeah, but he was crucified 2,000 years ago. Of course he was. The Old Testament said he had to be. It also says he's coming back. And when he comes back, it says that not only will Israel listen to him, but the Gentiles who make him their hope, he will receive them. That's me, man. That's me. I'm a Gentile Portuguese nincompoop. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision has been of the heart, not by the hands of men, but by the hands of God, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Isn't that amazing? He's so good. Guarding your heart against compromise. The Bible tells us that they tempted Christ and that they complained. What does complain mean? Complain means complain. To gripe, whine. You have little kids, they're whining and griping. Get that verse. The destroyer is going to destroy you. No, just kidding, but the Bible does say that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And remember, the cause of death was unbelief. And Satan's the father of unbelief. You say, oh, where do you get that from? Genesis. Isn't that how he messed up our first mom? Hath God said, Eve? Is that what God said? You hear that? She says, God says we should not eat of that. And then he's so wickedly subtle and brilliant. Has God said? Just the question put the doubt in her mind. Think about it. Eve must have been so much like a little child. A little kid is just go for it, right? And all you have to do is say to a little kid who's like jumping off the edge of the pool into your arms, come on, jump. All right, come on, jump. Yeah, come on, jump. Boy, you better hope I don't drop you someday. Oh, man, what'd you say that for? Now the kid goes, hey, Satan does that kind of stuff. Oh, God loves everybody but you. Oh, he'll forgive everybody but you. He's a good devil. That's what he does. And then preparing. Verses 11 to 12. Run with your heart fully engaged, preparing your heart for the end. This is good news. What do you mean for the end? He says in verses 11 to 12, now all these things happened factually, for real, actually happened to them as examples. The word we get is types. What happened to them actually is good teaching for us to learn from. And they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Take heed. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:1 says, he who is often rebuked hardens his neck. He will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So what are you saying? Prepare your heart for the end. That is, follow God. Take heed. Don't think that you can do this on your own. You need Christ. You can't save yourself, my friend. And Christian today, walking this walk in this life today, you were never designed to go it alone. These pressures of our lives today, Christ will be there. He will never leave us or forsake us, the Bible says. It's good to remember. And thirdly, it's this, verses 13 to 15, we need to run with our bodies totally committed to him. This gets kind of fun. Run with our bodies totally committed. Church, listen up. This is the home stretch here now. Did not God do everything that Israel needed in the wilderness for 40 years? Didn't he see them through? In fact, when you study the whole account, the only hostilities that came toward them was when they would not obey God. God says, hey, see these enemies that are coming? Watch this. He would take care of them. When they were walking in disobedience, they got punched. Makes me tremble for my country. So many people today want to fight with God because there's things going on in their lives. They were fighting in the beginning, they're fighting still now, and they're wondering why their life is not blessed by God. Why their world's falling apart. And it's a heartbreak. They wonder why God's not committed to them when they refuse themselves to be committed to God. And so their body is a temple for whatever they want to do. We don't have that authority. If we're really believers in God, we don't have that authority. And notice verse 13. We had to bring our body under his control. Can you mark that down? You say, man, I just got to get my body under my control. No, you believe me, you've already tried that. We've already tried it. It doesn't work. No, we want to bring our bodies under his control. Are you talking body, Jack? Like body, body? I'm talking body, body. Our body is, listen, what our body, are you listening? What our body does is what the spirit of us and the soul of us is dictating. Your body's not going, hey, come on. Oh, gosh, I don't want to go. Oh, my goodness, my hand's taking me somewhere. Where's it taking me? No, your hand goes where it's directed. I want. I need. I don't care about what God wants. I don't care what's good for me according to God. I know what I want and I want it now. I want my money and I want it now. Have you seen that stupid commercial? It makes me sick. It's so sick. That guy opens his window. I want my money and I want it now. You didn't want to just slap the guy and put a diaper on him for crying like that. Besides, it's China's money. It's not your money. Get in your body. Listen, we are to, by the Spirit of God, believer, Corinthian, Californian, we are to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Not dead, alive. God, use me. Lord, send me. Lord, whatever, through me, whatever you want to do. And Paul's passion of 1 Corinthians 9:27 is exactly that. I want to have my body under control. And in chapter 10, verse 13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. One of Satan's great ploys is to get you to think you're the only one going through what you're going through. Guess what? We've all gone through it. And by the way, it may look different on the surface. It's all equal to our level of faith. Your temptation, listen, I'm making this up. I'm not calling anybody out. Bob, your temptation to you is unbearable. And Susie, your temptation to you is unbearable. It's so bad, no one knows how bad, and no one knows how bad I have it. No. No temptation has overtaken us such as is common to every man. Okay? No one can say, well, he doesn't get tempted like I do. Well, first of all, maybe he's not going to Joe's Bar and Grill to get a drink of water. Okay, if that's your problem, don't go to Joe's Bar and Grill to get a drink of water. Use your head. Flee. But understand this, God is greater than the temptations. Temptations are going to come. You will be tempted. You're tempted right now to look at your watch. Don't look. Flee. We're all going to be tempted. It's what you do with it. And listen, the more Jesus in you, the greater the battle against it. But here, let me say, the greater the battle against it, the more common and victorious the victory. When temptation comes, fight. It's common. It's normal. Give your body over to God. Don't yield like that. Satan cannot put something to your head and make you do it. We do it because we get either the flesh, the world, or Satan in agreement with what we want, and we choose that side. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is also able to aid or comfort those who are being tempted. You ought to memorize that verse. Is that great or what? And then listen, next one, next point. Offering your body as a holy instrument to God. Did you know that? Our bodies are to be used by God as a holy instrument. This is fun. You raise your kids and you tell them, your body belongs to God. You've been bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know what? When that guy or that girl says, hey, you know what? Give it up. You say, hey, man, I belong to Jesus. Listen, girls, guys, tell that person, hey, you know what? It's prom night. Give it up. Say, I belong to Jesus. This is Jesus' body. You don't have the authority to do that. You belong to the Lord. You belong to Him. It's His. Your body's an instrument for God. And we need to take that stand. It is a noble and great thing to do. It's, by the way, very liberating. And it's a freeing thing. And then finally, this is fun. I like this. Finally, verses 14 to 15. Run with your body away from temptation and toward God. Verse 14 and 15. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Check this out. I want to remind you again of Joseph. This guy's amazing. When you read Genesis, the Bible says that Joseph was, first of all, very exotic in that culture. Remember, he's in North Africa now. Joseph's a Hebrew. He's in North Africa now with Pharaoh and his people. And Joseph is working for Potiphar. And the Bible says that Joseph was perfect in appearance and in stature. Do you know what that means? It means the guy was completely ripped. He was totally buff. He had the best of everything. He was just a remarkable specimen of a man. And guess what? Gee, I can probably figure out if that man is so committed to God like Joseph was, what kind of an attack do you think Satan would like to launch against him? Do you think it was some ding-dong chick that Potiphar was married to? You think she was some bozo of a woman? I bet you Potiphar's wife was a real cutie. The Bible says day after day, she would cast longing eyes at Joseph. She wanted him, it says. And one day she engineered the day. She sent her aides and attendants out of the house, and her husband was away. Potiphar was away on a business trip for Pharaoh. And she walks up to Joseph, and she's very subtle. Lie with me, she said. Now look, she says this, but first she had laid the groundwork, casting longing eyes at him. Oh, Joseph, you're so strong. Can you fetch me that pitcher right there? What is she doing? She's laying it on, man. And then she says, lie with me. Joseph, listen, guys, this is a man of God. Joseph, and I know he had to be thinking, well, pause. Okay, she's hot, she's rich, she's something. And every guy wants a woman who's casting longing eyes and then says, lie with me. You think he didn't have flesh? He had to tell his flesh, hey, wait a minute. You know what? This is wrong. 10 minutes with her will destroy my life forever. Following God now, eternity forever. Amen. Let me see. Potiphar's wife, God. Hello, this is a stupid challenge. If your spirit is in control, if your flesh is in control, your flesh goes, yeah, yeah! And he took off running. She grabbed him by the robe, pulled his robe off, and he's got his Fruit of the Looms on, his jock strap. I don't know what it is. The Bible says he ran naked. Can you imagine? Run, Joseph, run! Can you imagine angels? Go, 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 go! In heaven. Remember Jacob? Jacob was, he's a real stinker, Jacob. Remember, things were getting kind of rough with Esau, and it's later on in life now, and Jacob, if you watch his life, he's coming to the knowledge of God. You see, well, he's always known God. Yeah, no, but this time it's getting personal with him. God's getting personal with him. And he's depressed and he's fearful. And he's in the wilderness. Imagine what's going through his head. Wilderness. I'm at the end of my rope. I can't pull anything off right now. I don't have the resources to do a little switcheroony or be the Jacob that I am. And he lays down to go to sleep. He takes a rock, uses it as a pillow, falls asleep. He has a dream. And he sees the heavens open up, and he sees God, and a ladder comes down out of the sky onto the earth. And he sees angels going up and down. And he wakes up. And he says, I am in the place of God's house, and I didn't even know it. This is amazing. And he builds an altar made out of stones. And that was in the land, that was in the area of Luz. And he says, no longer is this Luz. This is Beth El. Beth, house, El, God, house of God. Jacob says, this is where God is. You know what? It wasn't that it was Beth El. Don't go to Beth El today and say, oh, can you feel God here? That's like people down in Laguna. Do you feel God right here in the sand? Hold this rock. Do you feel God? He's in the rock. Do you feel it? Look. Oh, feel the breeze? It's God. Look. That's not normal. He's the Lord of the whole earth. So check this out. Jacob renames the place Bethel, house of God. Wherever you're at in life, you need to ask God right now, God, show me who you are. And listen to him. Turn off your iPad or your iPod. Get it out of your ears. Turn off the TV. Listen to him. Listen to what he says. Because you see, the Catholic Church, Calvary Chapel, Methodist, Lutheran, I don't care what you are or what you're not. You're not going to get to heaven like that. It's not going to work. Only knowing him, the Bible says, for God sent to us the Lamb of God, the very Passover, John the Baptist proclaimed, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's who we celebrate at Passover.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The title of this study, Run Christian Run, meaning that we as believers are to run away from our old way of living and run toward our new life found in Jesus. Run Christian Run. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, it's real easy. Just point and click when you visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. It's a great way to stay in touch with all the things that are Real Radio. Listen to past editions of Real Radio. Email your question to Ask Pastor Jack. That's our Friday feature, by the way. Learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month. Find out where the program airs. But you can also subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional. It's called Words to the Wise. More and more Real Radio listeners are subscribing to Words to the Wise and really enjoying and benefiting from it. And you can too. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the button on the right there that says devotional, realradioactive.org. Go there when you get a chance. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.